Marriott Bonvoy is the official hotel partner of US soccer. Join Marriott Bonvoy today to get closer to the game with exclusive perks, unforgettable experiences, and benefits that go beyond the pitch. Spring Hill Suites, part of Marriott Bonvoy, offers complimentary hot breakfast and spacious all-suite accommodations, perfect for the whole team, with room for up to 6 guests. Make your next getaway a win. Learn more at springhillsuites.marriott.com.
This isn't just a game, it's a once-in-a-generation event. The Harlem Globetrotters 100-year tour. Celebrate 100 years of high-flying dunks, 100 years of show-stopping moves, and 100 years of changing the game. Bring the whole family and be part of the legacy. This game is once in a century. Be there at Schottenstein Center on December 27th. Go to harlemglobetrotters.com for your tickets to the 100-year tour.
What is up, everybody? Welcome to Comic Book Club. I'm Alex.
I'm Justin.
I'm Pete.
And we are coming to you live from a couple of places on the internet. We're live on Facebook, YouTube, LinkedIn, of course, for all your job and needs. Woo! That place is really heating up, I gotta tell you. Instagram, Kick, Twitch, did I say? I don't know if I said Twitch.
Maybe you're
listening later wherever you get your podcasts. We are available on all platforms. And just to mention, if you want to get ad-free versions of this podcast and all the podcasts we do, patreon.com/comicbookclub. Tiers start as low as $2, and it's a great gift for the holidays.
If you're already, you can get any of our tiers for $2. A vial, a bucket. Our tiers
come in
all.
We've been saving them, Matt. We've been saving them up, and there's a lot.
Too much.
Too much, but we're not crying tonight, baby, because we have a great guest for you this evening. He is the voice of Batman on Batman High Volume, which is a weekly podcast coming from DC that is adapting some of the greatest Batman storylines of all time. Right now, they're in the middle of Nightwing Year One. That's concluding next week. And then, starting on New Year's Eve Day, they're going to be kicking off Batman the Killing Joke, which you probably heard of. Ladies and gentlemen, Jason Spisak. Jason, welcome to the show.
Welcome to the show.
Hey, how are you guys?
All right.
I'll give you a bat welcome. There it is, because he's stoic and quiet.
He snuck up on us.
It's just a panel with like some dots, you know?
Right. You could also be suddenly God. That could also be that one.
Yeah, well, that's true. Yes.
Either way.
Thank you guys for having me.
It's a pleasure. Very excited to chat. Great to chat with a Batman. I mean, I'm sure just to start off, you get this one all the time, but like you've done, for anybody who doesn't know, you've done so many voices over your career. You've done anime, you've done video games, you've done tons of animation. You've done
just
live
in DC. Roles. I've done the Joker in Batman Hush and the Joker in some Lego movies and now Batman. And I was Wally West, Kid Flash on Young Justice, which is also quite highly regarded. Yes. Greg Wiseman wrote an incredible show there. Yeah. And even Red Lantern Razor, who's now made it into the comics, originally created for the Green Lantern, the animated series by Bruce Timm. And I mean, DC, I've played quite a few characters. And when I got the call to play Batman, I was just like, oh man, I better not screw this up.
That's what I wanted to ask you about. I mean, obviously, there's a long history of live action Batman, voice actor Batman. I mean, certainly Kevin Conroy looms large, I think, in everybody's mind. We were lucky enough to have him on our live show
Batman
a couple of times.
You're,
like we said, like you are a professional, you're a working actor. So how do you take that idea of Batman and all that history of Batman, particularly through voice work, and then wipe it clean and do your own thing?
What's really interesting is there are a lot of actors who've gotten the chance to play Batman, and it's quite an honor. And in this instance, it is an incredibly humbling honor, because some, you know, folks can say, I was the Batman in this animated show, or I was the Batman in this video game. And I'm the comic book Batman. That's insane to me. That's like, douche. I get to take Bruce and Batman before they're even a thing in Year One. and, you know, take Miller's story and basically follow this arc where Bruce is down on himself and highly critical and doesn't know what the heck he's doing in year one, and then follow that thread through Long Halloween, which is one of the best detective stories, and then into Dark Victory, where it's this dark emotional portrayal and Batman gets sucked into this dark place, and then sort of there's a light of hope at the end with Robin. Like, all of these threads, and take the vocal performance and do my best to match, like, Mazzucchelli and sales art and, like, this ridiculous, like, pantheon of great artists with a vocal performance that honors what's there in the comic. That's not an easy task, but it's also very liberating because it's there. I don't have to make stuff up. I just got to look at the panels. They're going to show me. The writing is going to tell me exactly where I need to go. And we have this joke. Me and the Realm folks in DC were, you know, when we're creating this thing, there's like the nine voices of Batman, because I've created a voice that is subtly different from the beginning of where it's just Bruce all the way through to where you hear the show now. Wow. If you listen, like, in an episode that's recent and then bounce back to an episode that's in the beginning, you'll be like, oh, wait, whoa, he's not the same guy, because Bruce and Batman aren't the same. And it's been an honor as an actor to try to be faithful to that, because the writing and the art did it. And so in a way, I didn't have a burden, and yet I had the biggest burden of all.
Yeah, it sounds like you're putting that burden on you to match the art coming before you. Now, how do you modulate that? Are you, like, did you sort of pin it out sort of from the beginning, or are you, as you jump into each successive project?
I have an overarch. So we kind of know these days what the iconic Batman voice is like, right?
Right.
So it was more of a working backwards, because what we don't have is a ton of examples of what he'd sound like in year one. We don't have a ton of those, right? So as an audience member, if I'm reading the comics, I've got a voice in my head, and it's in my head. That's great. But the rest of the world has heard what Batman becomes when we see him in most of the animated and live action products that we've seen. There's this thing. We all know what Batman is. Mm-hmm. So in a way, it was like, I know where I need to go, but let me see how we get there. That's the big challenge. So really, it was honoring how human Bruce is in year one. There's a humanity to Bruce that you don't get to see a whole lot very often in Batman stories. And even when he puts on the cowl, he's almost deprecating in a way, like when he messes up. And you don't hear that in the later versions of Batman. You don't really get as much of that quality. So to me, my job was to ground him vocally and emotionally so that it doesn't sound like the Batman, you know, like this thing that is sort of I don't want to say put on, because, you know, everybody who does it has their own take on it. But I wanted it to feel like it came from somewhere. And that's what was interesting to me.
You obviously are hearing the voices when you're reading them now, but this gets back to
I hear voices all the time.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Me too.
Let's get into it.
This is a conversation
that's
we're having
why
on the show.
I played the
couple
Joker.
This is a conversation we were having a couple of weeks ago on the show. Before this job, when you're reading the comics, do you hear the voice of Batman and Bruce Wayne in your head, or how do you read them?
Yeah. I mean, you have to. I mean, as an actor, I'm not sure that I'm wired any different from anyone else. Maybe I am, but there's definitely a vocal performance inside my head when I'm reading any fiction. And comic books, they are screaming to have the voices of the pictures you're seeing still come to life in your head in that way. And it is almost, reading comics is almost performative, I think, for the reader in a way that, you know, regular fiction novels probably aren't. And so, yes, there is, the voice of Batman looms large. And what's interesting is I hadn't read year one for a long time. And, you know, we all have at some point read the famous arc. And in returning to it, I found myself a little more aware of how different Bruce was speaking in his own head and how different his point of view is in that story. So I would say the voice that I probably read him with previously was not the same as when I recently picked it back up for this performance. Yeah.
I've never heard it described as almost like a translation craft. You're like looking from the comics, like looking at the picture, translating. And some of your other work, like where you're like a video game, it's like a translation. Can you talk more about that and like how different visual things will change the way your vocal performance turns out?
Yeah, absolutely. When you're performing, you want to take in all assistance to your art. You want to be kind of a sounding board, a tuning fork for whatever's coming at you, the other actors on stage, obviously, but anything else you can grab to kind of help you resonate with that moment that the characters in the story. Because ultimately, our job as actors is to tell the story. We are simply there as humble workers in service of the story. We're not, you know, look at me or listen to me. It's like, what are we trying to achieve here from a human relationship standpoint? Tell me this story. So anything you can get to take you deeper into your imagination, into this circumstance of this moment, is useful. It's all fodder for that. So when you have so specific a thing as a comic book panel, where every line, every color, every expression was chosen on purpose and agonized over, that's a war chest, a treasure trove from an artist's perspective to piggyback onto another insanely talented person and sort of ride the wave that they created. It is to leave it behind would be doing just the world at a complete disservice, because what you can achieve with that is exponentially better than what you could achieve if you don't honor it, look at it, observe it. Well, there have been times when we're recording that I'm like, because we have the panels up and I have the script here. They've taken the words and put it in script form also, that just aids with tracking.
Oh, cool.
Just for cuts and numbers, they number the side and everything for editing in the end. So there have been times when I'm like, yeah, we got to do that again. Because there's this thing that's happening right here, and he chooses not to show his face. So what is that saying? How does that sound? How does it sound when, you know, Batman is looking this certain way? Surgically trying to make sure that we honor that. But then at the same time, once you kind of do that as an artist, you have to sort of let go and see what comes out. It's sort of like a technical and then inspirational.
Right.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's really... Oh, sorry.
Sorry. Yeah, go ahead.
I just want to say...
So many questions.
It's really cool to hear you talk about your process and all that. We've heard so many amazing things, but... first off, thank you for your work. As someone who listens and has heard you voice a bunch of stuff, thank you for transporting me to that place and making me feel like I was in there and doing it.
Batman.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, it's fun rolling with Batman. And that's kind of my question. And excuse this long windup, but like playing these kind of characters and putting yourself in them and kind of becoming them, so to speak, to get the voice right. Are there fun things that you found out about Batman? Is there scary things? Change you for? Was it hard to shake off? Any of that kind of stuff?
Are you on the rooftops at night?
I am actually. It's so funny. I was going to whip out my cowl and just kind of put it on.
Please do.
No, I. You never, as an artist, you rarely. If maybe commercials is an exception to this, but anything you perform affects you. And the deeper the work, the more masterful level of the work, the more of a profound effect it has on you as a human being. You don't perform Batman and get really deep into the story arc from year one onward without being changed by the exploration that you... And not just by learning more about Batman, because I had an image of Batman in my mind from when I was a young, you know, young man reading the comics and, you know, watching films and everything. I had an image of Batman, who he is, what he is, that was greatly changed by this exploration. It's almost like, in digging as deep as I have for this, there's a vulnerability to him that is so essential, I think, to understanding why Bruce actually must become Batman in order to accomplish what he needs to accomplish. It's not that he's just, it's this need. It's this thing inside him that drives him to create this alter ego, to pursue this thing. And ultimately, they're so intertwined that, you know, he can't quite tell himself apart. We did Ego recently, which is a beautiful, you know, grab the annals and just be like, shake it out and see what comes out to help us tell this Batman story. And Ego's the perfect thing for that, because you, as a viewer, if you are lost in the fact that Bruce isn't sure what he has created now, that wrestles, that just shakes your understanding. Because Batman can be so stoic. Like, he's just got everything nailed. He's good. Oh, yeah. You know, and I think what I loved about this journey was it taught me, and I used this phrase when I was doing an interview for DC, that bulletproof glass is still glass. That Batman still has this humanity to him. And there's almost this tempered fragility inside him that, I mean, that speaks to me, right? That speaks to me. As stoic as we all want to be, what are we hiding underneath that? And it was a gift
That makes me want to ask a question that comes up in the comics a lot, where it's like, there are different arcs where it's like, Bruce Wayne's a mask, I'm Batman. Or Bruce is like, and so as someone who's been behind it, which is true? Which one's the real core human?
This is the best part of this is the answer changes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So at the very beginning of this story, if you listen to year one and you listen what I'm trying to bring to this performance and what, you know, Miller's writing is doing for you, he's creating this persona. And by the time we get past Dark Victory, it's almost like the mask has adhered to the psyche in a way that is a bit inseparable. And then beyond that, we're in some gray territory. So I think that ultimately, and Ego says this out like almost literally, it's almost like a moment-to-moment reality for Bruce. And depending upon what the world is doing to him and bringing him and whatever, maybe it's Batman is that human being.
Wow, that's cool.
And maybe Bruce is that human being.
I love the through the looking glass version of that, which I haven't really thought about before, that you know, you change enough that Bruce becomes the mask at a point.
I think that's pretty solid based on where things end up, I think. Yeah.
It's such an interesting perspective you have on Batman here, just doing this project and thinking about it as a character arc, because, you know, we obviously love comics here, but you like to pretend, oh yeah, it's 80 years of one story, but like, it's not really. That said, the way that you're seeing it is so fascinating because you are following it from Miller to, say, Jeff Loeb, who was directly following up year one. Yeah. Now you're jumping it to Alan Moore. They all have different voices, but you are finding that direct connective fiber there.
I think to honor their writing, they all wanted to try to find something that hadn't been said about Batman or reflected the time in which they wrote about this figure. There was, and each one of those notes that these writers were playing is a different facet of who Bruce and Batman are because of what's happening in their life, because of what happened right in front of them, what happened to friggin' Barbara Gordon, whatever. Like, Batman's not leaving those moments unchanged. So in order to honor that as a performer, you have to see what that would do. What would that do if you are committed to the imaginary circumstance of Bruce Wayne and Batman? That's going to push the mask further onto Batman's psyche and not want to come off some of this stuff, right? So I think if you honor the events of the stories that take place in Bruce Wayne Batman's life, you end up in those different places. You by honoring what's happening, you do take him to those places where he's vulnerable or cracking like he does at the beginning of Ego. And he's just like literally cracking apart psychologically. And each of those writers kind of wanted to share their own perspective on what this is doing to a human being to do this. And that as a performer is a joy to try to nail.
We got a couple of questions in the comments on YouTube and elsewhere, but this is one, this is more of a statement, but this is something I wanted to ask you about anyway. From NJF Spidey 616, I'm fairly certain Jason, along with Troy Baker, have the distinct honor of being the only actors to play both Joker and Batman. And in the case of this podcast, you've actually kind of switched roles at this point. Like, you've done the Joker a lot, now you're doing Batman, coming up and killing Joke. Troy Baker's done Batman a lot, now he's going to be doing the Joker. What's it been like flipping that upside down?
It's interesting because I do recognize that I'm like on this short list, and it's an incredible honor. As an actor, you try to be in the story in that moment as best that you possibly can. Because the moment you start thinking of, I'm playing the Joker. Well, I better be sure and do a good job playing the Joker as this thing. And here's what Mark did, and here's what Troy did, or whatever. You've lost sight of what's right in front of you. And that is that there are many ways to tell the story of Hamlet. But you, the audience is there to see your Hamlet. The audience has paid the ticket because they want to see what you're going to do with Hamlet. And that is the case with my Joker, my Batman. I'm looking at the stories right in front of me, and I want the audience to forget that I'm there. I want the audience to who the heck is that Batman? Who's that actor? I don't care. I want them to forget about my name, my credits, my everything. And the moment that they're like, oh man, Batman sounds really like he's broken up about that. I've done my job. I've done my job, because they are now transported into what the writers and everyone wants, which is the story as the vehicle. So, you know, it is interesting. Earlier in my career, I remember saying, all I want to do is play the Joker. All I want to do is play the Joker. Like, I've got this Joker in me. I really want to do it and everything. And then I got all this chances to play the Joker. I'm even the Joker on Teen Titans Go. You know, you silly Teen Titans, just go jump off a cliff. And it's so full of energy, and it's a totally different Joker than I'm also looking for Harley. Have you seen her? You know, the Batman Hush. They all have their own story in which they live. And then I don't know when it started, but I was like, I think I remember we were on Young Justice, and Bruce Greenwood was not there to read his lines as Batman. And Greg turned to me and he goes, we need somebody to read Bruce's lines in for this episode. And I went, I'll do it. And I did a Batman. And everybody was like, wait a second. Okay. And for a second, I was just like, I want to play Batman. Like in that moment, it kind of, you know, dawned on me the shift in my, you know, pursuits as an actor, that I thought, wow, you know what? I think you're only going to play Batman when you're ready to play Batman. It kind of felt like I would be ready to start that journey. So
is there something cool, while we're talking about both Batman and Joker, is there something cool about playing both, because they are opposites of each other? You know, Batman's about like control and Joker's about chaos. Is there something cool about being able to play both sides to that?
But I think they are similar in many, many ways. I think the writers of the stories of Batman and the Joker have hinted at this, you know, especially in, you know, later volumes, that they're almost like this, the dark and the light, the yin and the yang, but they're all part of the same sphere where, you know, Joker is insane, but a guy who puts on a bat suit and goes out at night and like, you know, so
seems vulnerable to me.
It's interesting. They both have something at their core that they need to achieve more than anything else. And in a way, there's with one key difference, they pursue that above all else. Right. And the line is obviously killing. That Batman doesn't cross and the Joker does cross, and Ego tempts Batman with in that comic, actually. And I I think the more you realize that they are almost like a binary star system, that they can't exist without each other, the more that when you play the role, you're less of an antagonist and more of like an inseparable partner in a story that is doomed forever.
Wow.
You know,
how often do you catch yourself just doing both voices, having arguments around the house?
Yes, really. Like, but in the morning, I'm just like, you know, making my shake, and I'm like, "There's no way that's not going to fit in the jar." You know, I've had enough of your crap this morning. I just want my protein powder.
That's fun. That's just fun.
We gotta come.
So
to
the answer is all the time and never.
Yeah, I was gonna say all the time.
I'll bring up a couple of others here. This is from Gilly Letao. Sorry if I bangled that. Jason, I'm a huge Batman fan, and your portrayal of him is my favorite.
However, as long as you enjoy the story.
My question is, what was your favorite episode to dub or portray him in?
Oh, which one of the episodes? Long Halloween is such a beautiful detective story. I love it so much. And Dark Victory is this really dark, emotional place that he goes to, which is great. But I have to lean on the fact that I love Year One. There is something about this story that I just think changes people's perspectives of who Batman is and who Bruce Wayne is when you read it, when you hear it. And it's sort of like, wow, yeah, look what he's become now and look what he was then. This is something serious and deep for this human being's life experience. And I have to say, Year One was really fascinating to portray. First of all, I mean, the first time you get to put on the Batman voice, right? Like the first time, you know, it's showtime. Like there's this moment where you realize as a performer, oh, here's the first line. This is the first line, okay? And everybody's just like, you know, what's it going to sound like? And so there's, you only
it's
get to
showtime.
Oh no!
Right, exactly. Oh, right, exactly.
That's not quite right.
Oh, Joker. Well,
yes, Spoonie.
I feel like a lot of actors have
that's
like
a Lego Joker throwback for anybody who's seen that one.
I feel like a lot of actors have like a key phrase that gets them into a particular character or accent. Is there one that you say right as you're about to dive into Batman or Joker?
What's interesting is because I'm being the comic book Batman here, I'm trying to embody the comic book Batman, the lines that he would have said in Year One don't apply to Dark Victory. Like, so I can't be like, hey, what? Let me do a little Batman callback here. It's not going to work because he's a completely different human being in Dark Victory than he is in Year One. So what I have to do is be in that moment. What is this moment? What are we trying to create right here? He's in the sewers looking for Harvey. Like, what is this? Where is he as a human being? That's what I'm holding on the most to. There are plenty of characters where, you know, that I've played in the past that have like a callback or something where I can call up the voice and, hey, inches above sizzling death, I'm entitled to speak my mind. Like, you know, there's Wally, you know, has that sort of, you know I can grab a line and bring it. But this Batman, this portrayal is so centered on his journey. It's got to be that moment.
That's cool.
I do want to ask you one question that is off topic of Batman. Yeah. You also did the voice of Silco on Arcane on Netflix.
Yeah.
This is a question from my teenage daughter.
I love it. Okay.
No,
all the comic book people are going, what is happening right now? Yeah. We're crossing the streams.
Do you have...
You say yes, Ray.
Yeah. This is direct from her. I asked her before the show.
Someone asked if you're a god, you say yes.
Yes.
Do you have a favorite ship on Arcane?
A favorite ship. That's really a good. I love alternate universe Powder and Echo. I think it's beautiful. I don't want to leave the alternate universe. When I'm there, everything seems to be like right. Plus, Vi's dead. Just kidding. I'm like, you know, it just feels so lovely and that pieces of fit in their puzzle slots just right. And so, yeah, I'm a big fan of alternate universe Powder and Echo. So.
All right. I will let her know.
And for your daughter, don't cry. You're perfect.
Wow.
Awesome. It's her birthday tomorrow, so I'll pass that on to her. Fantastic.
Clip it.
Send it.
I wish I knew her name. I'm gonna hear, what's your name?
Penn.
Penn. All right. Penn, I never would have given you to them, not for anything. Don't cry. You're perfect.
Yay. Wow, Alex wrapping up some birthday shopping here right before the deadline.
There it is.
All right. Like, I don't have to buy a thing. Yeah.
Thank you. Appreciate that. Just to get back to Batman, though, as we mentioned, Killing Joke is going to be kicking off on the 31st. And that's obviously a big deal. Like we said, it's you as Batman. Of course, Troy Baker is going to be the Joker. What can you tease about that? Obviously, we know the story, but what was interesting about tackling this?
Well, you see, there's this comic book. it's interesting because the Killing Joke itself, you're only going to, as an actor, get to be a part of this story being told if the planets align. Because there was that incredible animated portrayal, you know, with Mark, and that was absolutely phenomenal. And I'm trying to recall to myself, what are the other opportunities that people have had to bring this story to life in a performance? And it's like a none. So it's pretty incredible to be able to put living voices and breath into such an iconic story. And it's also so visually iconic. The idea that we get to step away from any preconception of the visual storytelling because it's already there and just simply breathe life into it is such an honor. It's such an honor. Like, man, when they told me we were going to do that, I mean, they said early on, they're like, and we're going to get all the way to the Killing Joke. And I'm like, okay, if you say so. Right. I was like, I mean, people are going to turn this podcast on and be like, what the crap? He's not Kevin Conroy. Click. Like, you know, so, I really am honored. I'm so humbled by the fact that we get to do it. And it's so great. Like, it sounds phenomenal. The music they have, you know, the composer for this is incredible. The sound designers for this audio experience are phenomenal. I'm just like blown away. So I'm excited. On the 31st, tune in. Same bat time, same bat channel.
Jason, awesome. It's awesome. This podcast is so good. Congratulations on everything.
It's really fun.
And thank you for saving me from getting a birthday present. I appreciate it. Save the day.
Well, you know, I hope it was special enough. You know, you can't underdo birthdays when they're close to Christmas, because that's true. Not going to fly.
Alex, it's hard to wrap sound, though, so just really figure it out.
I'll figure it out. I'll look at it. Don't worry about it.
You got this. Pete, Justin, Alex, you guys are awesome. Thanks for having me.
You're awesome. Thank you so much. Yeah.
Love the process. Talk.
Absolutely.
All right, there we go. Once again, Jason Spisak. The show is Batman High Volume, as we've been talking about. He plays Batman.
It's awesome.
The show's amazing. Again, just to kind of repeat, because it's very cool, it is a weekly fully produced audio drama.
Yeah, it's really... Yeah. We talked to a couple of the other actors on the show a month ago. Alex wasn't here, and so it got wild. It was very fun.
I wasn't able to keep it
a lid on it with all your birthday requests, your gift requests.
Yes. Anyway, it's great. You can check it out wherever you get podcasts.
Marriott Bonvoy is the official hotel partner of US Soccer. Join Marriott Bonvoy today to get closer to the game with exclusive perks, unforgettable experiences, and benefits that go beyond the pitch. Spring Hill Suites, part of Marriott Bonvoy, offers complimentary hot breakfast and spacious all-suite accommodations, perfect for the whole team, with room for up to 6 guests. Make your next getaway a win. Learn more at springhillsuites.marriott.com.
This isn't just a game, it's a once-in-a-generation event. The Harlem Globetrotters 100-year tour. Celebrate 100 years of high-flying dunks, 100 years of show-stopping moves, and 100 years of changing the game. Bring the whole family and be part of the legacy. This game is once in a century. Be there at Schottenstein Center on December 27th. Go to harlemglobetrotters.com for your tickets to the 100-year tour.
And folks, we're going to move on with our next section, which is my favorite section because you all make it up. Woo-hoo! It is your audience questions. And for audience questions, all you got to do is drop a question in the comments. It can be about absolutely anything. While we're waiting for those to come in, what are you guys drinking tonight? We didn't, unfortunately, have a drink curated for us this week because Brett Macris, our
Straight Bullies
chef, is feeling under the weather, so we do hope he feels better.
Feel better, Stray.
Feel better. Gotta have some drinks. They'll make you feel better, right?
Yeah, yeah, that's the New Orleans disease, is a long hangover. Like long
what are you guys drinking tonight? Justin?
JT says. I'm having a Negroni, and it's lovely.
It looks nice. Yeah. I don't have a garage, but I got the beer.
Ah, nice.
Okay, we're in a rut, Pete. You gotta shake it up.
I'm getting there. I got once I get through these, I you know. Then I got the.
Do you ever
Godzillas.
Do something? Do you ever put in like another drink in the middle? Anytime.
I don't know. Sometimes when Zelbin looks like he's going to murder me, I'll throw one in, you know, just to kind of change it up, you know,
shake it up.
No, I'm not going to. You drink whatever makes you happy, Pete.
Thanks. Well, it's going to be a lot of PBRs after this because of the Godzilla logo.
Don't spoil. We're going to be bearing it for all of 2026, probably. PBR phase.
Schreckler says, which comic book villain would you most like to play, either live action or voice?
Well, you know, it's funny. I was thinking about this during the, when we were talking to Jason, I was away, was that last week or 2 weeks ago when you guys were talking to Jackson and Lansing, and we brought up one of my favorite comics from 2 years ago now, their Clayface One Bad Day that they did. And so Clayface is my answer. I'd love to do the voice of Clayface.
Well, yeah, I can see that too because you're a classically trained actor. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I could just mold my face. But I mean, I'm specifically Feet of Clay, the Batman the Animated Series 2-part episode, something in that vein where you get to really get to know the actor who then goes on to become Clayface. Great.
Yeah. And of course, give us your Clayface voice. Mm-hmm. This is your audition.
Oh, shit. Oh, this is okay. This is really real. I mean, he's pretty regular.
I want to hear the Clay.
I always hear him in my head as having like a thing voice, like a very rocky.
Yeah, it's a little heavy. It's like, I don't know. But when he's an actor, he's doing, because that's what's so cool about the animated series and the comic, the Jackson Lansing comic, is he gets to do all of that stuff. He gets to be the actor first.
Yeah. If I could choose a comic book villain, I would probably say the Punisher. I'd like to do that.
Yeah, because you have a real high pitch. You have a high pitched Punisher voice. Yeah. That you do,
you're right? One bad day away from being me. Oh, boy.
Wow.
You know, it's a lot of goofy, but I think that's a nice mix.
Yeah. Thank you.
That's like for the Frankencastle of voice casting right there.
You know, this is unrelated, but I was thinking about this the other day. Do you think, like, Daredevil could maybe try be, like, you're one good day away from being me and, like, take him out for ice cream? And it'll be like,
Oh, that's a great idea. That's a great one-shot. Is Daredevil takes Punisher for his
one
best
good
day.
Best day ever. There we go. That's my pitch. Pete, what about you? Who would be your comic book villain?
I mean, I would love to play Doom. He's one of my favorite villains, so it would be fun to say,
really?
I am Doom. That would be cool. Nice. Yeah,
I am Doom.
I'm Doom over here.
I'm Doom over here.
The thing that's great about comics is that's possible. Like, it's 100% possible that Stan Lee was like, yeah, Dr. Doom, he talks like this. Hey! And we just misinterpreted it all these years. All right, Derek Mainhart says, have you guys ever done any voice work?
Oh, nice.
Justin, you have.
I have, yes. I've done a
classically trained.
Actually, I have a commercial airing right now that someone just heard where I play a dog in a Progressive car insurance commercial. So listen for that.
Play a dog. Does the dog have lines or are you just
the dog talks? Yes. Oh, okay. The dog does talk.
Justin, I've been looking all over for this. Was it tax commercial that you play a mascot in? I can't find it anywhere.
Well, it's not tax season yet. In the new year, you will see that commercial, and you will look at it, and that will be me there.
I can't wait.
Yeah. Really fun. I also did a couple voices for I did a voice for a Comedy Central pilot that unfortunately never made it to air. But that was going to be because I was the idea of being a voice actor is awesome. Yeah. Like you record from home, very fun. I've mostly done commercials. I was the voice of Comcast for like 6 months once, which was the best job. Because you just record and then they start mailing you checks.
Wow, that's
but fun. If you ever remember a Jane Lynch commercial campaign from like probably 12 years ago now,
I have them all memorized.
Yeah, Glee. Nice. Are you thinking of Glee?
Yeah, I'm Glee. I was Jane Lynch's in Glee.
Wow, you are a good actor.
Yeah,
I believed it.
Nat Townsend says, "Which Absolute book do you feel has the strongest first trade? Obviously, I'm thinking of giving them as gifts, unless my loved ones are listening to this, in which case I'm not doing anything."
Absolute Wonder Woman for me.
Mm.
I think Wonder Woman's great. We were talking about this in the Discord, our Patreon Discord. Yep, you were wearing the merch. And my suggestion was Martian Manhunter first, yep. Wonder Woman second.
I feel like you're going too tripped out too hard. You know what I mean?
Now, well, but I think
ease into the tripped out.
What I was going to say is that is, and I think maybe Nat even said this, is that's so distinctly its own thing from the get-go and is a fully composed idea that is like right off the shelf, ready to rock. Wonder Woman, similarly, but Wonder Woman, it's still, you need to know the character, I think, before you start reading it.
How about this, though?
Martian Manhunter, you don't.
You go absolute Batman. Then you go absolute Wonder Woman. Then you go absolute Manhunter. You know what I mean?
So in order, you're saying?
Yeah.
Well, but I actually think absolute Batman takes the art, sold it, and it did kick off the line. But I actually think the first story from a story perspective is good, but it's not like, it's not the best. I think it's hitting its stride, or it has hit its stride in later.
These are almost multiple different questions at the same time, because I think in terms of a gift, if you have somebody who's like a casual comic book fan, 100% give them Absolute Batman, because clearly that has sold new people on reading comics, coming
the
back
the numbers
to comic
suggest
books.
That it's working.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. And it's very like, it's very accessible. It's a great book. It's very fun. So that would definitely be like, oh, this is cool and I am enjoying this. That said, I think if we're just talking about what has the strongest first trade, it's absolutely, I'm sorry. Absolute Martian Manhunter, because, and I think you said this, Justin, but like it's a complete story in six issues versus Wonder Woman, which is ongoing. Batman is ongoing. The rest of them are ongoing. You can hand somebody Absolute Martian Manhunter and it feel like a satisfying experience in one book. And that's,
but
I don't know. That would be my answer.
My only problem with that is you're setting a bar for something that's more artistic and tripped out, which the others aren't. You know what I mean?
But
I agree with what you're saying.
What has the best first trade, not what's going to sell you on the absolute line and get you to buy Comics Weekly.
All right. Well, we all got different agendas, I guess.
We do. Yeah. Very much so.
Shout out to Stray Bullies, bro.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Shout out to Stray Bullies. All right, and I think that's it for your audience questions.
No, wait, that can't be it. I have questions.
I have an audience comment. I was hanging out with some people, some dads that I play poker with once a month.
Oh, yeah. We heard about your dad group.
Have you ever seen poker that painting, by the way? Dad's playing poker?
Yeah.
I have a velvet one, just like just off it.
I'm in it, right? Well, and their biggest comment, because a couple of them are comic book guys and have started listening to the podcast.
Oh, boy, like, the dads listen now?
The dads
shout
are listening.
Shout out to the dads.
Shout out to the dads.
Shout out to Greg, who said what I'm about to say, and Andy. But the comment was, yeah.
I like to call him Grandy.
Grandy. Yeah. They're good. I'll hold on to that. The one guy, anytime any of you say Ludacris, shouts Luda.
Luda!
And he was like, I love that. I also do that.
Yeah!
I was like, what? That is one of it's so unhinged that we've started to just ignore it. Like, you do it, and we just silently move on without ever commenting on it.
I think a part of you guys dies inside every time I do it. Don't forget that part.
I don't mind it. It's sort of like when you hear, like, you live in New York and you hear a distant fire truck. You're like, that's part of it.
Yeah. No, I like Ludacris. I have a whole playlist of Ludacris. God damn it. Never mind.
I mean, that was perfect. I didn't even hear it.
He didn't even clock it.
I was listening to what Alex was saying. I
just feel bad because I should have seen it coming. blocked from saying it, and it came anyway. So that's
I love how off the rails this is. But
this is very much on the rails, by the way. This is real.
But it's funny that Grandy brought this up because, you know, before the show started tonight, I have this thing where I just say random lines of a movie. If anybody comes close to saying a line from a movie, like, I have to do that. And then to hear, you know, a famous voiceover actor also have that moment and kind of do that, I was like, I'm not crazy. Like, it happens to other people. So shout out to
Grandy. Crazy people meet each other all the time, and that doesn't mean they're less crazy. Just to be clear. It's not, that doesn't necessarily make
just
you
because, okay.
Just because you encountered another maniac.
You can't let me have this small W.
Have you ever
just
heard of
small W?
An insane asylum? That's like a concentration of crazy people all in the same place, and they're not more sane because of it.
Oh, man.
This is from Stan.
I don't know.
Not Stray Bullet. Stray Bullet says, I want to take the secret poker dad's quiz.
You're going to have to talk to them.
I was actually trying to choose this. Stanley says, do you think video games could be made into good shows or movies? And the answer is sure.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Street Fighter II, the animated movie, is unbelievable.
Yep, that's everybody's first answer.
We Transformers, the animated movie, is unbelievable. I mean, what are we talking about?
The Street
Fighter
trailer.
The G.I. Joe movie is great.
Those aren't video games. You're just saying stuff.
Yeah, Transformers and G.I. Joe started as toys, not video games, Pete.
I'm just saying.
Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Also, thank you, Amber Love, Mortal Kombat. Are you effing kidding me? Mortal fucking Kombat.
Pete, did you like the Street Fighter? Did you like the Street Fighter trailer for the new live action movie?
Very excited about it.
That looks great. I love movies that look like they were made by AI.
Oh, fuck you, dude. Ready Player One. Everybody's like, oh, I don't want to play a video game.
It's a horrible piece of shit.
Was fucking great. What are you talking about?
It was insulting on a base level.
No, wow. Go F yourself, dude. Go F yourself. I had a great time rewatching that movie.
Yes.
Based on
But back to the video games. Like, yes, definitely. I think, you know, the Fallout season one, I enjoyed watching that. That was a huge hit. Like, it obviously they've gotten into a little bit of like bad choices here in their marketing campaign for season two, but mm-hmm. it doesn't mean the show itself is going to be bad.
That's all right. I've seen the first six episodes. I like the first season. They kind of get a little too deathly serious with the whole thing, which is a real bummer.
Well, and I think that's the trap of video game developing it for TV and film is it's like, oh, look, we have the whole story laid out, and then that just gives you little sort of potholes to fall in. I think Last of Us is in that a little bit right now with the way they've told season two and the upcoming season three, and the amount of time they're taking to make it means everything has so much more weight, mm-hmm. and they've overburdened the story. But if they had a lighter touch with it, of course. Video games are themselves great stories.
I can't wait to make my Burger Time movie. It's going to be sick.
You're living a Burger Time life.
That's right.
Fried Distress says, is there an announced new series or maybe arc in the comics your guys are excited for in 2026? I'll give a shout out to, they announced earlier today, the first three DC Next Level titles. And we knew two of them. We knew that Scotty Young and Jorge Corona were doing Lobo. They announced that back at New York Comic Con.
Yes.
We knew Greg Rucka was coming back to do Batwoman with Danny. Great. The one that they just announced is Tony Fleece and Carmine D. Gian Domenico are doing Deathstroke the Terminator. And that's all cool. Happy about all those teams. But the thing that I was even happier about, in the press release, they said, not explicitly this, but like they've taken the lessons from the Absolute line. And so they said it's in the mainline universe, but all of these titles in DC Next Level are taking the idea of Absolute, and like new readers can come in, you can jump in, you can read them. That doesn't mean Superman, Batman, Wonder Woman, Justice League are going away, but you can read Deathstroke and just read Deathstroke. You can read Lobo and just read Lobo. And they're also clearly taking like a very careful, measured approach to it, releasing three in March and then TBD on the rest of them. So I'm excited for that. DC has been on a roll lately, and I think flipping it up, going from DC All In, which the past year was like this very really well-structured continuity where everything was weaving into each other in really interesting ways but had its own takes, to then go in the opposite direction and be like, all right, we're going to throw things in there that are just like, pop in, read this if you want. Awesome.
I agree. I love their approach. I've been such a proponent of the way DC's doing it. And I will say the two things I'm looking forward to the most are the Vertigo launch that we've talked a fair bit about with our interviews with Chris Condon. And we have an interview with Kyle Starks that Alex and I did that I believe hasn't dropped yet.
It's up for Patreon members. It's going to be up in the feed on Friday. We talked to him for like an hour about his Vertigo book and a lot of other stuff.
And he wants to chat. It's so awesome. After we stopped recording, we talked for another 30 minutes just talking. Wow. And that was great. And the Vertigo books look awesome. It feels like another very curated series of comics that are going to be very exciting. And then maybe the more esoteric answer is the 2026 for the Hulk books at Marvel. Like Planet She-Hulk.
Yes, dude.
Loving. I loved the first issue. I can't wait to see where that goes in the new year.
Yes.
Same with Inferno Hulk, I think is awesome. I think the second issue came out last week, I believe, and that was excellent. I just love what they're doing on both of those books.
Well,
it's about time we had some prime Hulk time.
Yes. The year. Hell yeah.
Pete, anything you're excited for next year?
Just what Justin said, double it.
Okay, great.
Double it.
Double it and throw it down.
Can we just say that when we agree?
Yeah, double it.
All right, now we are actually done with audience questions, and we're going to move on to our next section, which is trivia, and for that, we're going to turn it over to Pete LePage.
Yay! This is the part we give back to you, the lovely audience. It's an opportunity to win $25 in Midtown Comics Online. Because if you had $25, you'd probably want some comic books. Ooh. All we need is a brave volunteer or a first-hand up.
I don't know if this is a first-hand up. We got a ditto from Easy Reader, but we also got I Do Trivia from Nat and Hand Up from the Zen.
I think it's for the double up.
Ditto, yes.
Yeah, double up.
Get Nat in the box.
All right, Nat, you got it. You're doing trivia.
All right. Today's trivia is about the comic The Author Immortal and a small nod to the legend Rob Reiner. R.I.P. Thanks, you made things better. All right. Please listen to all three options before making your selection. Here we go. Question number one. Who is the amazing artist on this great comic, The Author Immortal? Is it A, Morgan Beam? B, why did it always smell funny in our office? C, Fred Asparagus.
Nice. Nat says E.
Ooh. Oh, he said that before the question. So yeah, maybe he'll revise.
That's what I call a flex.
Yeah.
Ooh, pick D.
Phone a friend?
Gotta go A.
He's correct. Phone assist? That was one of the options. All right, here we go. Question number two. Who is the writer that is pulled into the realm where stories are alive? Is it A, Hector Ramirez? B, that's interesting, Jen. Earlier said you didn't want to grow up. C, Jennifer Child.
You know, there's story everywhere. You have a almost like an Ernest Hemingway level of shortest story you've ever heard in these B and C answers.
Yes. Thanks, man.
Really interested to see how upset I'm going to be about whatever movie you chose at the end. But Nat says A.
Oh, man. This is going to be interesting. All right. Here we go. He's correct. Question number three, the last one. This so far really impressive comic is also about blank. Is it A, the power stories have over us? B, you love donuts. You love dipping them in coffee. I'm not sure what you should invest all your money in. C, Diana Duncan.
The idea of investing into Dunkin' Donuts is insane. Can you do that?
Particularly right now? Come on.
Dunkin's going down.
Where are the Dunkings?
Nat says G.
No, he said that again before the question.
Still a suggestion. He's poking at the borders. He's trying to figure out what is happening here.
Yeah, A unless there's a D, he says.
It's A. A is correct.
A. Yeah. Congratulations.
A.
Luda. Congratulations.
No, Alex. Not said.
Anybody can do whatever they want. You've got a gift card to Midtown Comics. Shoot us an email. We'll get that off to you. Pete, what is the secret movie, the secret Rob Reiner movie you are paying tribute to?
Of course, I'm talking about the 1984 mockumentary, This Is Spinal Tap.
Okay. Safe answer.
Forgive
me. Yeah. You could have chosen This Is Spinal Tap too, but you did not do that. That, I mean, picking Rob Reiner is literally too soon, but I'll take it. It's quite literally very too soon.
Yes. Yeah. Well, it's not too soon to pick up new comics because they're coming out tomorrow. What are you looking forward to that's coming out in shops, Pete?
We're the author Immortal that I've mentioned before. The art is just amazing. I'm a sucker for watercolors. It's super creative, really impressive comic. Planet She-Hulk, as me and JT Sizz were talking about, and Space Scouts number 2.
Ooh, nice one.
Justin, what about you?
I mean, I think there's a lot of good stuff coming out.
Sure is, buddy.
So, like, obviously we have a lot of stuff that is medium, but I want to shout out Exquisite Corpses number 8 from Image Comics, which really been liking this book felt like, oh my God, there's so much story. How is this ever going to come together? And I feel like the last couple issues are really funneling us towards something. So I'm excited to see what that is. Sacrificers 18. There's a lot of comics on the stands where you're like, I bet I know somewhat where this story is going. Sacrificers is not the case.
Nope.
And in the last arc, we sort of ended a lot of things. I'm curious where this goes, and I have truly no idea. And I also wanted to shout out one other, a comic that I'm always backing to the bone, G.I. Joe number 6.
Yes!
Let's see how these dreadnoughts go.
Yeah, come on!
A couple of titles I'll shout out. Additionally, Star Trek The Last Starship number 3. As Justin mentioned, we talked to Colin Kelly and Jackson Lansing about it a couple of weeks back, and that title is absolutely killer. I think if you have somebody, it's crazy how deep continuity they made that title while still making it totally accessible to absolutely anybody. So that's pretty wild. Plus, there's great art by Adrian Bonilla. Also, really looking forward to the All Fight Month stuff that's happening this week. That's been very fun so far. That's happening in the new issue of Titans, and also there's Zatanna versus Harley. And the last one I'll give a shout-out to, not to keep plugging stuff, but again, we talked to Kyle Starks. He has a new book called Wrestle Heist that is coming out tomorrow from Image Comics that he's writing and drawing. He's been writing stuff without drawing it for a while. Always fun to see about art. And we did actually get a chance to read this, and it is as ridiculous as the title implies, with a ridiculous amount of
Batman.
No,
I said ridiculous.
He did say ridiculous.
I stopped myself, Pete.
I will say that counts, though, because you wanted to say
ludicrous. I did.
You did. He got you. Yeah. I just wanted to say, well, and you'll hear it in the interview, but maybe we'll talk about it in the stack. His process for creating this comic is insane. So definitely listen for that because it is a great read.
And all of those books and many more books are going to be in our Stack podcast that drops Wednesday, 9 a.m., both the Stack feed and the Comic Book Club feed. And folks, that is it for this week's show.
Yeah, you're right, Stanley 299.
Yeah, we want to give a shout out to Jason Spisak for coming on to talk about Batman in Batman High Volume. You can check that out weekly, absolutely everywhere, wherever you get podcasts. And I will mention, this is probably actually our last live show until January. We might be able to eke another one in there, at this point, we might not be coming back until January 6th. That doesn't mean we're not going to be doing shows. We're going to be doing our best comic show that's going to come out Tuesday next week, just not live. And then the week after that, either live or non-live, we're going to be doing a movie and TV preview as well as a look back for 2025 and 2026 right there at the end of the year. And if we don't come back live, thank you all for tuning in this year. We appreciate it. Thank you for 19 years. This is also kind of our 19th anniversary.
We've been doing this show for 19 years tonight.
Let's all say it together. Luda!
You make it sound like we've always said that.
Yeah, patreon.com/comicbookclub to support the show, comicbookclublive.com for this podcast and many more. Until next time, we'll see you at the Comic Book Club.
Yeah, I feel like we'll be back before the end of the year.
Happy Hanukkah.
Marriott Bonvoy is the official hotel partner of US Soccer. Join Marriott Bonvoy today to get closer to the game with exclusive perks, unforgettable experiences, and benefits that go beyond the pitch. Spring Hill Suites, part of Marriott Bonvoy, offers complimentary hot breakfast and spacious all-suite accommodations, perfect for the whole team, with room for up to 6 guests. Make your next getaway a win. Learn more at springhillsuites.marriott.com.
Hey, hockey fans! Can't get enough hockey? Then get more with Team USA. When you crave the fast-paced, hard-hitting action on the ice, but you don't always love the big league price, then Team USA has you covered with all the thrills and all the energy at USA Hockey Arena in Plymouth, and all at a family-friendly price. Get more fun and more hockey when Team USA hosts exciting NCAA, international, and USHL opponents. Grab your tickets now at usahockeyntdp.com and see America's NHL stars of tomorrow.